that I've been in thus far this week here. All that saved, I trust, has enjoyed them.
Yes, amen.
And it's good that the Lord has given us heaven to go to heaven in.
Amen.
The gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10. Tonight, I want to direct your attention to a place and a position that we as Christians ought to be well acquainted with. That being at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to deal tonight concerning the matter at the feet of Jesus. To do so, I've selected a Bible character mentioned in the New Testament Scriptures. This character, each time they are brought before us, is found at the feet of Jesus. There's three occasions in the New Testament where this individual is spoken of as being at the feet of Jesus. The individual that I'm referring to is a woman. You say, preacher, a woman? Yes, I say a woman. I know today that we must deal with what is called the ERA matter. But at the same time, I thank God for good, godly, spirit-filled women.
Amen.
And there are some of these that's spoken of in the pages of the Word of God.
Amen.
The woman that I'm referring to tonight is named Mary. Now there are four Marys mentioned in connection with our Lord's ministry. First, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Second, there was Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Third, there was Mary Magdalene. And according to John 19:25, all three of these Marys were standing by the cross when the Lord Jesus was crucified. Now, I believe that's significant in the fact that the word Mary means bitter or bitterness. Then there's a fourth Mary spoken of, and she was the sister of Martha and Lazarus.
Right.
And that's the Mary that I want to direct your attention to for just a little while this evening. Let's read the three occasions where we find this one at the feet of Jesus. The first passage is found here in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10. Look at your Bible in verse number 38. Here the Word of God says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village." John names the village. The name is Bethany. Certainly, this was a place that the Lord Jesus loved to visit.
Right.
There, it is recorded that Jesus Christ, while he was here upon this earth, visited this village four times. And here in Luke 10 is one of them. Further here, this verse says, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." I believe Martha had early received him into her heart.
Yes.
And now we find here that Martha received him into her house. I believe that Martha was a little older than Mary. So here in verse 29, we have a humble home in this village by the name of Bethany. Certainly, I believe this was a place where the Lord Jesus loved to go. No doubt this was a place where the Lord Jesus could rest. No doubt this seemed like an oasis in the desert.
Yeah.
And I might say that a small cottage, just a humble home in a village, is more pleasant in the sight of God if there is grace there than there is a palace where there is none.
Right.
Look at your Bible in verse 40. Verse 39. The Word of God says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet." Where's Mary? At the feet of Jesus. "And heard his word. But Martha was troubled about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Therefore, that she helped me. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. The Lord addressed seven individuals throughout the scriptures by using her name in such a manner. And here he says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Hold your finger there at Luke 10 and turn your Bible, please, to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Here in John chapter number 11, in verses 1 through 3, we come to Bethany again. Here in these verses, we find that Mary and Martha had a brother by the name of Lazarus. We find, according to these verses, that Lazarus was sick. The word sick means deathly sick. He was sinking. We find that these sisters sent a message to the Lord Jesus Christ. They sent a message to the Lord Jesus, and we find that he stayed. Actually received the message. He stayed 2 days in the same place where he was. And that was beyond Jordan in Bethabara. That's where we're at here in verses 4 through 16. But we find that there came a time that Jesus Christ, he headed toward Bethany. And this is set before us here in verses 17 and following. And we find that when he came pretty close to Bethany, Martha heard that he was on the way. And that tells me, according to verse number 20, that they had a stakeout, or they had a watch, or they had a post, or someone looking for Jesus to come. Certainly they did. We find that Jesus comes thus far, and Martha runs out to meet him. She has a conversation with him. And then in verse number 28, the word of God says, and when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her. Now, I'm not going to deal with it tonight, but they didn't follow Martha when she went out of the house. But these Jews followed Mary, and there's a reason for that. Saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. No, she wasn't headed to a place to weep, but she was headed to a person. A person. The only person on the face of this earth that could understand her tears, that could understand her sorrow. Look here, brother, in verse 32. The word of God says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Where's Mary? At the feet of Jesus. Saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Turn your Bible to John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12. Verse number 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. I like that. Whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, dry coffee, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Where is Mary? At the feet of Jesus. And wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I'd like to have each head bowed, please, and each eye closed, and let's go once again to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pastor if he'll lead us at this time.
Father, once again, we ask you to bless Brother Wayne tonight as he preaches. Give him a fresh and new thy spirit. Give him all that he stands in need of. Preach the word. Help each of us to be good listeners tonight. Lord, we pray that we'll not miss the message. Lord, do not hear the messenger, but hear the message that's needed. Lord, give us what we stand in need of to help us. We might spend time at the feet of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I've read these three occasions tonight where Mary, this woman, is mentioned as being at the feet of Jesus. Now, there isn't any mere repetition in the pages of the Word of God.
Amen.
God does not place anything in the Word to just take up space.
Right.
Now, in the Bible, the Lord Jesus is presented in a threefold way. First, he is presented as a prophet. Second, he is presented as a priest. And then third, he is presented as a king. Now we find all three of them here in these three passages of Scripture that we read tonight. Here in Luke chapter number 10, we find the Lord Jesus presented as priest, speaking the Word of God. In John chapter number 11, we find the Lord Jesus as priest, sympathizing with a woman. And then in John chapter number 12, we find the Lord Jesus Christ as king, standing among worshipers. In Luke chapter number 10, we find that Mary owned him as prophet, for she sat at his feet and heard his word. In John chapter number 11, she approached him as priest, one who could be touched with the feeling of her infirmity, one who can understand her sorrow and her broken heart. And then in John chapter number 11, she acknowledged him as king, for she ignored him in that passage of Scripture. Now, in Luke chapter number 10, we find Mary receiving from Christ. In John chapter number 11, we find Mary running to Christ. And then in John chapter number 12, we find Mary rejoicing with Christ. In John chapter number 11, we find Jesus Christ. You remember Paul said, weep with those that weep.
Right.
Rejoice with those that rejoice.
Right.
In John chapter number 11, we find Jesus weeping with those that weep. In John chapter number 12, we find Jesus rejoicing with those that rejoice.
Yeah.
Now I want to direct their attention tonight to this one passage here in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, look at your Bible in verse number 39. I believe there are some lessons that we can learn from this woman here by the name of Mary. In verse 39, the Word of God says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I've already stated he's presented here as prophet speaking the word. And Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Now, when she heard Jesus Christ speak, she heard the word of God. For Jesus was God. Jesus Christ was and is and always will be the eternal Son of God. So when she stood at his feet, she heard the Word of God. Now turn your Bible for a moment, please, to John chapter number 1. I want to pull something out here. In John chapter number 1 and in verse number 1, this is familiar Scripture. Here the Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ referred to as the Word. He's only called this seven times in the New Testament Scriptures. All seven times is in the books that God used John to write. And here we find that he's referred to as the Word. John says, in the beginning. The Word was not merely from the beginning. The Word was in the beginning.
Amen.
See, if the Word was in the beginning, that means that the Word is without beginning.
Right.
This is a negative way of saying that the Word is eternal.
Yeah.
The Word is eternal.
That's right.
Here the Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now here's what I want to point out. Here in John chapter number 1, we have the incarnate Word. The word incarnate means in flesh.
Right.
Here we have the incarnate Word. But listen, we also have the written Word.
Amen.
The written Word. The song that said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have the incarnate Word, and we have the written Word. The psalmist said, "O Lord," or he said, "Thy Word is forever settled in heaven."
Amen.
I believe tonight, laying before me, is a copy of the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. I believe we have it right here tonight. And listen, we have the incarnate Word, and we have the written Word. And they stand or fall together. They go together. Because the written Word predicts the incarnate Word on every page. They go together. They stand or fall together. In my opinion, you can mark it down. When someone is not satisfied with Jesus or with the written Word, that's telling you they're not satisfied with Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
When an individual is saved by the grace of God and satisfied with Jesus Christ, they'll be satisfied with the Bible.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Certainly.
Amen.
Certainly, this is so. Now listen, there is no use tonight to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," if we don't love the Bible.
Amen.
There's no use to say, "Oh, how I love Jesus," if we don't love the written Word, the Bible.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I only love Jesus Christ as much as I love this Bible. You only love Jesus Christ as much as you love this Bible.
Right.
And the way that I'm preaching God's Word, the Bible, is exactly the way that I'm preaching Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
If I'm neglecting the Bible, I'm neglecting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If I'm neglecting or ignoring the Bible, I'm ignoring Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
We ought to have a heartburn.
Yeah.
The right kind.
Yeah. Amen.
The right kind. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about that heartburn that's mentioned over in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 24.
Right.
Those two disciples was on the road to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus drew near, and he went along with them. There came a time that they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And the Word of God says that they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" That's the kind of heartburn we ought to have. Our heart ought to burn. We ought to yearn to stand at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah,
and hear his word.
Yeah.
Now notice verse number 40. Verse 40 says, But, this speaks of a difference. There was a difference between Martha and Mary. Now listen to me. Both these women were saved. Both of these women were marvelously saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
But still yet, there was a difference here.
Yes.
Here in verse number 40, the Word of God says, "But Martha was troubled about much serving." The word "troubled" here means to be distracted. The word "troubled" here means to be drawn away from. Drawn away from.
Yes.
Something had happened to cause Martha to be drawn away from the presence of Jesus Christ. Something had happened to distract her from the presence of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. I don't want you to misunderstand me. My friend, if you're sitting in this building tonight, say by the grace of God, you cannot lose his person.
Amen.
You cannot lose his person. that you can mark it down, you can lose His presence. You can lose His presence. And here we find that something had distracted Martha from the presence of Jesus Christ. What was it? Look at verse number 40 again. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Much serving. Here's what it was. Her much serving. Now concerning this much serving, I want to point out two things. Number one, this much serving here, and the things that Martha was doing, was not simple things in themselves. These was no doubt innocent things. They were not sinful things in themselves. No doubt the much serving here involves her welcome and the preparation of her home for Jesus Christ. No doubt the much serving here involved the fact that Jesus Christ would have a sufficient welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, these things were innocent things. They were not sinful things in themselves. And my friend, that leads me to say this tonight. You and I might be doing things that are innocent. They're not sinful in themselves. But still yet, we may not be rendering a service that is acceptable
right
unto the Lord.
Yeah.
I want you to know something else about this much serving. This much serving. This much serving, Mary was doing things that involved Jesus Christ. This much serving here was associated with Jesus Christ. No doubt Martha was doing these things for Jesus Christ. No doubt she was. No doubt she was. Now listen, my friend. She was doing these things, no doubt, for Jesus Christ. But this much serving had distracted her and blown her away from the presence of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the Lord rebukes her here, tenderly, but definitely.
Yeah.
He rebukes Martha. He rebukes Martha. There was something that just wasn't in place like it ought to be. Now listen to me concerning this matter of much serving. The Lord Jesus desires and recognizes service. Certainly He does. He wants His own to serve Him.
Yep.
Certainly He does.
Yep.
But He far more desires, are you listening? He far more desires and values love and devotion to Him above all this.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir. Love and devotion must be directed to Jesus Christ above all else.
Yes, amen.
Above all else. As a matter of fact, it's love and devotion for Jesus Christ that makes service acceptable in the Lord's sight.
Yes.
It's love and devotion to Jesus Christ that gives service a value in the Lord's sight. Without love and devotion to Jesus Christ, service is worthless.
Right.
And vain and void. That's what this passage is dealing with. Turn your Bible for a moment to John chapter number 21. I want to point this out in another passage here. In John chapter number 21 and verse number 15, the Word of God says, so when they had dined, in verse number 9, the Word of God tells us that Peter and Jesus Christ here were sitting beside a fire of coals. Now, where else in the gospel according to John do you read about a fire of coals? Here in John 21, we find Jesus Christ speaking to Peter beside a fire of coals. But if you'll turn your Bible later, when you have time, back to John chapter number 18. That chapter deals with the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And my friend, verse 18 tells us, and talks about a man by the name of Peter. And Peter, when he denied Jesus Christ, he was standing beside a fire of coals.
Right.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. As Jesus Christ spoke to Peter beside that fire of coals that night here in John 21, that Peter's mind went back to that night.
Yeah.
How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. Jesus Christ here in verses 15 and following, he asked Peter a question three times. Mm-hmm. Here Peter needed this. In verse 15 it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" What does he speak of first? Love and devotion.
Right.
For himself. He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Right here in the closing words of verse number 15, we have service. Service. We find that in the words, "Feed my lambs," that before Jesus Christ tells him to do so, he first talks about love and devotion to himself.
That's right.
Look at verse number 16. He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." You'll notice here that love and devotion to Christ comes before service.
Right.
Here in verse 17, the Word of God says, he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter would grieve because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Love and devotion to Jesus Christ must be above everything else.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Everything else.
That's right. Amen.
And that's what we're called here in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10. Now listen, dear Martha was doing things for Christ. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving from Christ. And I believe that before we can do things for Christ and be a kind of blessing to others, we must receive from Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe before we're qualified to minister to others, we must first be ministered unto by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we sit at his feet.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Let me point something else out.
Amen.
Here Martha was doing things for Christ. Mary was sitting at his feet, becoming more and more like Christ. For you see, my friend, when you sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the Word of God and be obedient, you become more like Christ.
Right. Amen.
And that's what was happening to Mary right here in this passage of Scripture. Now notice your Bible in verse number 40. Notice what happened to Martha. Notice what happened to Martha after she had been distracted from the presence of Christ. Here verse 40 says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said," has it ever occurred to you, why didn't Martha just go to Mary and say, "Mary, don't you know that I have need of you?"
Right.
Why didn't she just go to Mary? She didn't. She went to Jesus. Said, "You know why? I believe Martha knew in her heart that Mary would do whatsoever Jesus told her to do." I believe that. I believe she knew that Mary would be obedient to Jesus
if Jesus said, get up and go in there and help Martha.
And I believe that that was what Martha here was expecting to hear Jesus tell Mary. But I believe she was surprised. She was surprised. Look at verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care? You know what's going to happen when we are distracted from the path of Christ? We're going to begin questioning whether the Lord cares for His own. And that was a good message last night, Brother Tim, on does Jesus care? We will begin questioning whether our Lord cares when we're drawn away from and distracted from the presence of Jesus Christ. He said here, she said here, doest thou not care? He has said over and over and over again that He cares. And when we question that, we insult God. We insult God. Turn your Bible for a moment to Matthew chapter number 10, please. Matthew chapter number 10, here in this passage of Scripture, verse 29, the Word of God says, Jesus speaking, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Now I want you to notice this carefully. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? A farthing is a half of a penny. A half of a penny. Now turn your Bible to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. The Lord Jesus says something a little more here concerning this matter. In Luke chapter number 12, in verse number 6, Jesus said, are not five sparrows, sold for two farthings? Now let's get our arithmetic right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Or in other words, He was saying that two sparrows is sold for a half of a penny. Half of a penny. And He said in that passage of Scripture, not one of them can fall to the ground without the Father. Now here in Luke chapter number 12, He says that you can spend. He says that you can spend that other type of penny and buy two more sparrows. That's four. And Jesus said, when you go ahead and spend that full penny and buy four sparrows, I believe He was saying there that the seller will throw in the fifth one for free, and that one little sparrow that didn't cost you anything, it is not forgotten before God.
Amen.
That's what He said. He cares.
Amen.
He cares.
Yeah,
here Martha said, doest thou not care? Now what will happen when we begin to question the Lord's care? Look down at verse number 41. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. The word careful means worried. Martha was worried. She was uneasy at mind. Martha was worried. She was troubled. She was disturbed. That's what's going to happen when we're drawn away from the presence of Jesus Christ and begin to question whether He really cares or not. We're going to begin to worry and be troubled and uneasy in our minds. Now what's going to happen? What's going to happen when we worry? Look at verse number 40. I believe worry breeds self-pity. Look at verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered About much servant, he came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Worry will breed self-pity.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem here like Martha's really concerned about herself?
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ was more concerned about Martha than she was. Certainly. You know what Martha was saying here in verse number 40? She said, Lord, the burden is too heavy. She was saying, Lord, I'm good enough for two people. That's what she was saying. She was saying, Lord, the burden has gotten too heavy. I'm good enough for two people. But isn't it good to know that the God that shapes our back for the burden is the God that shapes the burdens for our back. And He knows our load list. And He can meet our load. Certainly. Notice verse number 42. The Word of God says, but one thing is needful. Not many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is supreme. One thing is a must.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And listen, my friend, don't let the good thing crowd out the best thing.
Amen. That's it. Amen. That's what it's all about.
That's right. He says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen. That was the difference here between these two women. What was it? It was the choice.
Yeah.
Mary hath chosen.
Good.
That was the difference. That was the difference.
Amen.
But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen a good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The Lord says what? The Lord says those that choose this portion shall never be disappointed. That's what He says. Now listen, real close. Now I'm going to hurry. Here we find that a lot of people, as they read this passage of Scripture, they say, preacher, Mary didn't do anything except sit at the feet of Jesus and have a good time. That's not so. Look at your Bible back in verse number 39. Look at it carefully. The Word of God says, and she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Does your Bible say that? Mine doesn't.
Also.
That's exactly right. Circle that little word also. That makes the difference. That makes the difference. It says here, she had a sister called Mary, which also. What does that mean? That means that Mary served just like Martha. She served just like Martha. But Mary also did one more thing that Martha failed to do. And that was sit at the feet of Jesus. You see, the Word of God is teaching here that Mary had taken part in service. Mary had done service. But she went one step farther than Martha did, and she sat at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, in closing, I believe Martha here learned a lesson that she never forgot. Turn your Bible to John 12. I'll read one verse, and that's it. John chapter 12. I'll read two verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. in the gospel according to Luke, as far as I know, all that Martha was serving was three or four people. That's all that's mentioned there. Actually, three is all that's mentioned. Herself, and Mary, and Jesus. And she was cumbered about much serving. But here in John chapter number 12, if you read this closely, you'll find that Martha was serving. She was doing the honors. And here she was serving at least 16 people. And here, there's not one word of rebuke. Here, there's not one word of reproof. I believe Martha had learned her lesson. And I believe here in John 12, she was serving well and acceptable in the Lord's sight. I'll ask every head to be bowed.